We would like to thank you for being with us today. Due to some technical difficulties, we had to record this lesson, which was supposed to be preached on April the 5th. And so we are recording it so we can have it for study and for posterity's sake. And so we're thankful for the opportunity to be able to study on John 3 and verse number 30, where the Bible demonstrates to us when John was speaking, he must increase, but I must decrease. And so when we think about John was sent to make God's way straight. Jesus would be that way. Jesus would say on one occasion in John 14 and verse number 6, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man come to the Father but through me. John was a strong preacher. We know he was strong because he was out in the wilderness preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, Matthew 3 and verse number 1. He lived out in the wilderness. And as he was out in the wilderness, we know that his diet out there was locusts and wild honey. He was truly a man of God who knew his position. He knew what he was preaching. He knew that Jesus would be that one because the Spirit would tell him that Jesus would be that one. John 1 in verse 29 and 35, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He knew that he would be that one. He would be that one that must increase and he must decrease. When we think about this, we consider John in Acts chapter 13 and verse number 24. We learn something about John the Immerser or John the Baptist, where the Bible demonstrates to us in verse number 24, after John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. So John's message was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and it was a baptism of repentance. Now, one thing we know about John, he understood his role, and he understood the authority of Jesus. Now, when we think about this, understanding roles and authority is key to life. John knew both. He appreciated both. John was out there baptizing according to John chapter 3, verses 22 to verse number 24. And again, this was a baptism for the remission of sins, according to Mark 1 and verse number 4. John understood Jesus' position. He understood his message, according to John chapter 3, verses 25 through verse number 29. There, we see something that's very interesting in verses 25 through 29. Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptized, and all are coming to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourself bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. A few things we want to take notice of in these particular passages that I believe is worthy of our attention. In verse number 27, we see that John knew and understood heavenly commands. In verse 28, we see John reminded them of his words, the evidence he was sent before the Christ. In verse 29, John stands beside Christ, supporting him, hearing him. Also in verse 29, John took great joy standing beside the Christ, as we should. And so there are many things that we can say about that, but that will suffice for right now. No wonder when we get to verse number 30, where we see he must increase, but I must decrease. John recognized something there. He recognized that he was going to be that one that was going to be a bridge between the law of Moses and the law of Christ. We understand that Jesus, according to Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law. It was Jesus that was going to be nailing the law to the cross, Ephesians 2, verses 11 through verse 15, Colossians 2, verses 12 to verse 14. It would be Jesus that would live the perfect life under that system. Yet it would be John that would be preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And it would be Jesus who would be submitting to John's baptism. Yes, he understood authority. He understood roles. Again, when we think about John, he recognizes Jesus, his origin. In verse number 31 of John chapter 3, notice what he says about Jesus. He who comes from above is above all. If you notice that, Jesus came from above. Everyone ought to recognize the deity of Christ. John 1 in verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word, now notice this, was with God. And the Word was God. And the Bible demonstrates to us in verse number 14 that the Word became flesh. Hebrews 1, in verse number 3, we understand that Jesus, the Son of God, would be the brightness and the express image of the Father. So going back to John 3 and verse number 31, he came from above. He is above all. We understand him to be above all because the Word, Spirit, became flesh. In other words, the Logos became Iesus. The Logos became Emmanuel. The Logos became Jesus. Jesus had seen and heard and therefore brought truth. Verse number 33. Look at verse number 33. Here, the Bible teaches us, he who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. Friends, did you hear that? Receiving the testimony of Jesus actually validates that the Father speaks truth. Receiving Jesus, receiving his testimony, is an agreement that God speaks truth. Truth. God is true. John knew that he needed to decrease. It was never a power struggle between John and Jesus. As a matter of fact, we understand that John, on one occasion, when Jesus came to be baptized of him, he said, I need to be baptized of you. But it was Jesus that had to remind him that it behooved us, befits us to fulfill all righteousness. And so John knew that he needed to decrease, didn't struggle at all with his position. When we think about this, this is a powerful lesson, and it should remind us of Jesus when he was in the garden and he says, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus, being the Word in the beginning, did not have a power struggle with the Father, did not have a power struggle with God, but humbled himself, became obedient, even to the point of death, even death of the cross, Philippians 2, verses 6 through verse number 11. We can learn many lessons from John. We can learn many lessons from this man of God. And how can we decrease today as the servants of God and Jesus Christ? Friends, he must increase, I must decrease. So a few points that we want to make, 2 points. Often tease Brother Ryan Smithy, and he always talks about how I have 3 points, and when I have 2 points, he wonders what's wrong. I only got 2 points here. Number one, the first point is being a friend to Jesus. One who is fond. When one is a friend, one is fond. One wishes one well. One is familiar with, if you will. Jesus said in John 15 and verse number 14, you are my friend if you do whatsoever I command or say. We see an intimacy here that I believe is worthy of our attention. In Psalm 25, in verse number 14, we have the classic text. And it's a very powerful text that should remind us that God desires to be in covenant with his people. He desires to demonstrate to them his secret, if you will. In Psalm 25, in verse number 14, the secret of the Lord. The word secret there is the idea of the conversation of familiar friends is of the Lord, is with those who fear him. Watch this, and he will show them his covenant. When we consider this intimacy, this closeness, being a friend to Jesus, friends, this ought to remind us the closeness that John and Jesus had. That he wanted to stand near him. He wanted to hear what he had to say. He wanted to rejoice in the words in which he spoke. In James 2 and verse 21 through 24, Abraham was a friend to God. And we understand that Abraham did the will of God. He was willing to do that which was right before God. You go back in your own time, you look at verses 21 through 24, and we find that Abraham was a friend of God. As a matter of fact, the Bible demonstrates to us in verse number 23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. That ought to teach us that when we do God's will, we are his friend. When we don't do what God says, we're not his friend. So how can we learn from this? Well, we have to ask ourselves, are we learning from Jesus? Are we a friend to Jesus? Jesus would say something in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, come to me. Friends, we ought to be going to Jesus. We ought to be going to his word. Unfortunately, there are many that don't go to Jesus. They don't go to the Word of God. Some, even during Paul's day, did not want to do so. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through verse number 21, we see something also that ought to grab our attention, if you will. In verse 17, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility or the vanity or the pointless, the moral depravity of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Notice why? Because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, being past feeling, and giving themselves over to, notice, these type of lifestyles, lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. Literally, in the Greek, you have not learned Christ in this way. Too many people are trying to do their own thing, but they haven't learned Christ. If indeed you have heard and have been taught by him that the truth is in Jesus. Friends, the truth is still in Jesus today. And so, going back to that John 3, and looking at verse number 29 again, if you notice what he says there, in verse number 29 of John chapter 3, he says, he who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, watch this, who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. We want to talk about standing and hearing Jesus. John, he stood by, literally, he stood near the Lord. We can do better in standing near Jesus. We need to draw nearer to Christ. How can we draw closer to Christ? We draw closer to Christ by reading his word, adhering to his word, applying his word, to be immovable. The word to stand there literally means to be firm, to continue safe and sound. John, he stood immovable. He stood firm. He stood safe and sound. When we adhere to the word of Jesus Christ, the word of God, we stand immovable. We stand firm. We stand safe and sound. John heard and he yielded to, he gave way to. That's the idea of hearing there. Remember, we have to ask ourselves a question, not how this time, as we did in the first half of this particular point, but why? Because his words have life. His words are life. John 6 in verse number 63. Standing and hearing him teaches us to love God and to love man. Matthew 22, 37 through verse 39. It's so important for us to stand with Jesus, to hear what he has to say, to rejoice as John did in his words. When we think about rejoicing, rejoicing greatly, John said, because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. It's like John was looking for something. He was looking for his joy to be made full, if you will. The idea of rejoicing greatly literally means to be cheerful, to be calm. He was cheerfully and calmly rejoicing. When we hear God's word, does rejoicing follow? John said, this fulfills my joy, hearing his words. Simply standing and yielding caused great joy in the life of John. Who wants a best man, if you will, that really don't want to be around you? Who wants a best man, if you will, that you can't trust? Who does that? No one. In Acts 2, in verse 40 and 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. I see why people, some, don't adhere to baptism, because they're not gladly receiving the word. So we have to ask ourselves a question. Are we gladly receiving the word of God? If you will, turn your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 13, and verse number 48. You see something here that is powerful. Acts 13 and verse number 48. Give a little bit of the context here. You have Paul, who would later be called Saul, or Saul, rather, who would later be called Paul. And he is speaking in the synagogue. He had been given permission, if you will. And now he is given a history lesson on what took place in the life of Israel. And the Bible demonstrates to us in verse number 48, now when the Gentiles heard this, that they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the regions. Friends, did you hear that? Brothers and sisters in Christ. The Gentiles, when they heard Paul elaborating on the word of God, they gladly heard it and rejoiced. I believe there is something for us to learn there as well, that when we hear God's word, it shouldn't cause us to be upset and angry and disturbed. It ought to cause us to rejoice. But again, when we think about John, and he said, he must increase, I must decrease. It's the second point. I want us to talk about he must increase, but I must decrease. It's important because Christ must become greater to us. The idea of Christ becoming greater to us is the idea of growing in the authority of the teacher. Jesus is our teacher. Jesus was given all authority. And so when we consider this, we want to grow under the authority of Christ. He will, and he will always be, and should be, the most important and most influential teacher in our lives. If not, why not? When we think about this, we ought to be considering the ways that Jesus has authority over our lives. His way, talking about Jesus's, of thinking, of working, of obeying, serving, learning, humbling himself, must be our way of thinking, working, obeying, serving, learning, and humbling ourselves. When I think about how Jesus obeyed John 8 and verse number 28 and 29, we understand that Jesus, he was taught by his Father. And verse number 28, the Bible says, then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Friends, did you hear that? Brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus always obeyed. Christ must become greater to us. As his authority grows as a teacher in our lives, we ought to be adherents to his teaching, to his thinking, to his working, to his obeying, to his serving, to his learning, to his humbling. We ought to be adherents to those things. His will and his ways should become more important and influential in our lives every single day. Jesus' teaching must govern our lives, govern our behaviors, govern our thoughts. Question, are we allowing the teachings of Christ to govern our lives, govern our behavior, govern our thoughts? As John said, he must increase, I must decrease. In other words, when we think about decreasing, we must make ourselves less. We must humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt in due time. 1 Peter 5 and verse number 6. To decrease in authority or popularity, what do we mean by this? Friends, there are too many that are walking according to their own rule. Jeremiah was saying, Jeremiah 10 and verse number 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walk to direct his steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Friends, if anybody ought to be popular, it ought to be the Christ in our lives. He has all authority. God put all authority under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all. In all, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. When we think about decreasing in authority, the word of God ought to be governing our homes, our relationships, how we walk as employers, employees, how we govern ourselves in the midst of the community. We must decrease. Having the mind of Christ, Colossians 3, the first three, four verses there. Making sure that we lessen ourselves in rank and influence. The influence that we have, and even though we have all of these influences around us, truly, Jesus is our influencer. He's the one that ought to be given all authority in our lives. Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse number 1, follow me. Now watch this, even as I follow Christ. That implies that Christ was governing Paul's life. And Paul says, I'm an apostle. And keeping in mind what he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, I believe it is, where he talks about his apostleship, and his apostleship was for their edification and not their destruction. Following Paul is to follow Christ. Acts 2 and verse number 42, we consider the apostles' doctrine. We ought to lessen ourselves in rank. How? By following the example of Jesus. In other words, following in his steps. If you will, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 to verse number 23, we take notice of something that I believe is very powerful, worthy of us considering again. In verse number 21 here, the Bible tells us something. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. You notice that? The word example there is the idea of writing under one's life. Our lives ought to be written under Jesus's life. And when we do that, then we are decreasing. We are lowering ourselves in rank. We are allowing him to be the influencer instead of we trying to be our own influencer. We think about this, and Peter says, Christ also suffered. The context here is dealing with suffering. When we think about John, he stands with Jesus. Jesus suffered. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 8, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Friends, we're not greater than our master. We need to decrease. He must increase, I must decrease. He increases in his authority and his influence and rank over my life. I decrease in those things. But if you notice in verse number 22, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, meaning talked bad against, evil towards, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. That's it right there, friends. How was Jesus successful? He was successful because he committed himself to him that judges righteously. Kind of reminds me of Paul when he was talking to those Ephesian elders and encouraging them to make sure that they stayed on the straight and narrow path. And he said, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. We need more commending. We need more committal, if you will, to the Father, to his Son. We need to follow in his steps. The context again, suffering. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. 1 Peter 4 and verse number 16. Friends, suffering is part of life. He must increase. I must decrease. I must make myself less. I must decrease in authority and popularity. I must lessen myself in rank and influence. And showing this genuine loyalty to him as Lord is so important as we come to a close. How? Just as John, he stood by, he heard, he rejoiced in his words. Friends, we need to do the same. And the way that we do that, John 3:19 through 21, we come to the light. Notice what the Bible here says. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Friend, we show genuine loyalty to the Lord when we come to the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, John 8, verse 12. So many beautiful blessings in that. Being loyal to the Lord, being loyal to the light, coming to the light, having our deeds exposed. He must increase. I must decrease. John 6, 44 through verse 46. We show genuine loyalty to him as Lord when we hear and learn from the Father. In John chapter 6, starting in verse number 44, no one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Friends, how do we show genuine loyalty to the Lord? We come to God through his teachings. We decrease. We humble ourselves under the teachings of Jesus Christ, under the teachings of God. Reminded of what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2 concerning newborn babes and how they should desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow thereby. Friends, we ought to be loyal in our growth, desiring the logical milk of the word. We ought to be striving to be loyal, hearing and learning from the Father. John 8, verse number 54, we'll end with this idea here. In John 8, verse 54, showing genuine loyalty to him as Lord, how? Honoring him as the Father does. We ought to honor the very things that our Father honors. Those things that our Father doesn't honor, we shouldn't honor either. In John chapter 8 and verse number 54, Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. How do we honor the Lord? We honor the Lord by doing his will, by keeping his commandments, by being his friend. We close with this. In John 15 and verse number 14, Jesus said again, we said it before, we'll say it again, you are my friend if you do whatsoever I say. Friends, we want to be friends of Jesus. We want to do what he says. We want to be his servants. We want to make sure that we decrease, he increases. John understood that. He understood roles and authority. He understood that he needed to stand by his friend, hear what he had to say, rejoice in what he heard. And just as our Lord, our Savior, our Master, and just as he did to the Father, we should do it as well. May the Lord continue to bless us to do his will, to strive to be the best that we can be in all things. If you're not a child of God, we want to encourage you that being a friend of Jesus means that you obey the gospel. As Jesus commanded his disciples, i.e. apostles, in Acts chapter 1, to go and wait in Jerusalem and wait for the power from on high, Mark 9:1. That would be the Holy Spirit who would come to baptize them. Acts chapter 2, the first 4 or 5 verses there. And they would preach the gospel. They would preach about David's throne. They would preach about Jesus suffering, bleeding, dying, and being raised to sit on David's throne. And in Acts 2:36, God made that same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. When they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter responds, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. His promises to you and to your children and to all of them that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. They that gladly received this word was baptized. 3,000 souls were saved that day. 3,000 souls decreased. 3,000 souls realized that Jesus, King, Lord, Master, he increased. They decreased. You need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to be, repent of your sins, confess Christ to be Lord, be buried in baptism for the remission of your sins. And God will do something amazing in your life. He'll wash away all of your sins. The blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse your conscience. Now you can serve the living, true God. Maybe a child of God and you haven't been decreasing, haven't humbled yourself under the mighty hand of God so he can exalt you. Well, let's make that right. Let's make that right. May God bless you. May God keep you is our prayer. Thank you.